And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by our good friends over at Skip, Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga, back with you to talk some general storylines, Nick, with a great guest in the hockey industry today.
Yeah, fired up for today's episode, and don't forget Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Without further ado, let's bring in one of the biggest Boston Bruins fans I follow on Twitter, Pete Blackburn, making his debut here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. What's up, buddy?
Thanks for having me. It's a good year to be a Bruins fan, that's for sure.
Hey, let me ask you this off the top. In your wildest dreams, and I know you're a big Bees fan.
The answer's already no. No.
Please elaborate.
No, I mean, I think everybody expected this team to take a step back this year, or, you know, at least be treading water a little bit at the beginning of the year when Marchand and McAvoy had to come back from the injuries. I don't think in anybody's wildest dreams they would have expected this team near the All-Star break to be on pace for one of the best seasons in NHL regular season history. Like, that would be an insane thought. And I still think it's an insane thought. I can't believe that it's happening, but this is a completely different team, and it's been an incredible ride for the first half of the year.
You were at the Winter Classic. I want to know what the vibes were like. Do people really think like this is the year that they're going to hoist the cup for the first time since 2011? Because you look back at that playoff failure against the St. Louis Blues, losing the game 7 at home, in terms of futures appeal and awards market type stuff, like the Bruins are littered across the board. They're the favorite in many books right now. Montgomery, Pasternak, probably number two for the Hart behind McDavid. There's Charlie McAvoy getting into the Norris Trophy chat lately. Linus Ullmark, bar none, Vezina Trophy front runner right now. Like, what's the vibe out there? And was that Winter Classic thing like kind of a sign of things to come for a celebration for the city, maybe?
Yeah, I would say I would kind of label it as cautious optimism, at least from my end. And I think that it's kind of I'm receiving that back just because, listen, I mean, this team has made the finals three times in the past, dozen years, and they've lost two of them. And I'd argue that the last one they lost was the most painful because I still think they should have beaten the Blues, still think that they were a better team. And I think that fans are still kind of shell-shocked a little bit by that. At this point, though, based on the team success, it is kind of Stanley Cup or bust. Like I mentioned, most people before the season probably would have been happy just to have another run with this group, with, you know, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, like that kind of last hurrah, last dance. You know, glad to have one more year of it, just grateful for it. Now, I think expectations have changed where it's if they don't win the cup based on the success that they've had to this point, it's going to be disappointing. And I don't want to label it a failure, but it's going to be pretty close to a failure if they finish as well as they're trending to. So, it's cautious optimism.
And of course, we're looking forward to that game on Thursday night between Tampa and Boston, a measuring stick game, I think, for both teams. So we get closer and closer, Pete Blackburn, to the trade deadline on March 3rd. What's your expectation? Do the Bruins go big game hunting? Because obviously that have massive fantasy hockey ramifications.
Yeah, I think that they're going to try. I don't think they're going to do it for the sake of just doing it. You know what I mean? I think Bo Horvat makes a lot of sense, both for this team now in providing an upgrade, but also providing some stability and insurance for the team down the middle long term. Like, I don't think that they trade for Bo Horvat if it doesn't come without an extension already kind of agreed to in framework, because this team is going to have question marks when it comes to Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci beyond this season. So if you can lock up a top six center at the deadline and make your team better for a playoff run down the stretch, then it makes a lot of sense. But I don't think that they're going to go out and get like a Patrick Kane just for the sake of it, especially if it means stripping away from the roster. I don't think that they want to rock the boat too much for good reason because of all the regular season success that they've had. So, I think that a guy like Bo Horvat makes a lot of sense, but it has to make sense with the package as well. Like, you don't want to strip too much away from this current roster, basically only what you have to make the money work, I would say.
So Pete, I wanted to ask you about the Carolina Hurricanes. You guys, the Bruins meet the Hurricanes every year in the playoffs. It seems they're the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. And that's another team that could add at the trade deadline when you consider the cap relief, even though it's disappointing from the Pacioretty Achilles injury. Now Freddie Anderson went down in the game last night. So go ahead and summon Pyotr Kochetkov whenever their first chance might be, if he's going to miss any time. But that's another team that could use secondary scoring help. And if they make the move, it's an arms race with the Bruins. And then if one makes the better move and knocks off the other in the playoffs, that could be the final tiebreaker there.
Yeah, I would expect the Carolina Hurricanes to be in on basically every good forward in terms of bolstering their lineup. You mentioned it. I mean, the Pacioretty thing, for as devastating and as heartbreaking as that was to see, it does free up an opportunity for them to make a big splash at the deadline and for the stretch run. And like a guy like Horvat makes a lot of sense for them as well. And so, you know, I do think that they're going to be a strong competitor both in the trade market, but also down the stretch and pushing, because the Hurricanes are really good, but you mentioned it. Something that they've been looking for, and the reason that they went out and got Pacioretty in the first place, is that they want that scoring help down the stretch. And to get another, you know, top six contributor would help them quite a bit. And I think that that's something that they need. And if they get it, they're going to be a much scarier team.
I'm convinced that Antti Raanta, by the way, is cursed. I don't know if you guys saw that on Wednesday, but like, it took a stick in the face. And that was after the fact of Freddie Anderson leaving that game, but they still found a way to beat the Dallas Stars. And I do think they're a perennial contender, but something always comes unraveled for that team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's normally the power play or the offense. And I'm with you right there. I think they need to address that. Now, Pete, without question, one of the bigger stories in the NHL world right now, and we could even bring you down that well to 2011, the Vancouver Canucks. So Bruce Boudreau, Rick Tocchet in, a quick look at the new line: Stuhnika, Horvat, Besser, Mikheyev, Pettersson, Kuzmenko, then Sheldon Dries with JT Miller and Connor Garland. We saw them get obliterated by the Seattle Kraken on Wednesday night. What'd you make of the coaching change there?
I like Bruce Boudreau, and I think that sometimes, you know, a coaching change is warranted, and, you know, just to shake things up, it's easier to fire one guy than to fire the entire team. So, you know, I think there's blame to go around in Vancouver for that situation, and Bruce Boudreau's not without blame. My big issue with it was the way that it was handled, obviously. And I think that a lot of people saw that and kind of were like, what are they doing here? You can't like basically sit in front of a microphone and say, yeah, we're going to fire this guy, but it's going to happen at some point, and then have his key card keep working day after day, because that's going to trickle down. Like, it's going to, he's going to feel it. The players are going to feel it. It's not going to help anything. You got to as soon as you decide that you're going to fire him, you have to fire him, put somebody in the interim role, and then figure out who's going to take over in a more regular basis and hammer out those details. So I thought it was clumsy, ugly, a little bit disrespectful, and just a real sort of like exposure of how dysfunctional that organization is from top to bottom. And that was real ugly. And on a side note, as a Bruins fan, if you had told me that Jack Stuhnika was going to be a first line winger at some point this season, I would have told you in the preseason that the Bruins season was going to go horribly. So the fact that he is playing on the first line in Vancouver is wild to me, regardless of who's coaching.
Yes, mind-boggling, and not in a good way for Vancouver. So, when you're looking at that situation, I mean, they got a couple of different coaches on the payroll. It's just a sign of different regimes all not really going so well. So hopefully better times ahead for the Vancouver Canucks. Wanted to ask you, I know, Pete, we were talking off air about like some of our preseason predictions. We were all high on the Calgary Flames, and you included. I mean, they're on the outside looking in right now. If you look at the Western Conference teams, I think that if they sneak in, they could be a dangerous team for anyone, including the top seed, if they're the last seed in. But Jonathan Huberdeau is someone that we all expected a lot more from. People are asking about him. Should we drop him? I heard through the grapevine, I don't play on ESPN, but ESPN took him off their can't cut list for a reason. A lot of people want to drop this guy. Do you have faith in the Calgary Flames, based on what you've seen so far this season?
I mean, I think that they've got a lot of talent, but, you know, I believe that they were my preseason Stanley Cup pick, or at least they were a team that I thought could really, really contend. And, you know, given all the changes that they made in the offseason, maybe we shouldn't have assumed that it was going to be so seamless. And I thought that they did great work. I still think that they did pretty great work, with keeping that window open based on what happened to them, in terms of personnel this offseason. But obviously it hasn't carried over in terms of the full performance. I look at Jacob Markstrom and the season that he's having and how, disappointing that's been. And a big reason why they're not having a ton of success, but obviously the Huberto situation is not great, especially when you've already inked him to that extension and it hasn't even kicked in yet. Like that could be I think that everybody looked at that extension and were like, all right, well at the front end, it's going to be great. But then, you know, towards the end, they could be in a real sticky situation. They could be in a real sticky situation when it kicks in. So like, that's a troubling thing for the Flames. I still believe that there's an opportunity for them to figure it out given the talent that they have on that roster and just some of the things that are going wrong for them right now. But yeah, obviously it's not been as smooth sailing as me and a lot of other people assumed that it would be.
I was laughing the other day. I had a viral tweet in the off season, sort of comparing Huberto to Marner's contract, and people, you know, were wondering about that in that tweet. And now I look like an absolute idiot, which is not the first time, by the way. Couple things. Why do we have a can't cut list in fantasy hockey? It's fantasy hockey or fantasy sports. I should be able to cut whoever I want off my roster. Hell, I can cut Connor McDavid if I wasn't feeling it one day. And number two, Florida or Calgary, Pete Blackburn, who is the biggest disappointment so far this season?
That's a good question. I would say probably Calgary based on that division and sort of how up for grabs it is. You know, Florida, I still think can figure it out as well, but I think that most of us were expecting some regression when it came to the Panthers and, you know, just based on how things are going in that division right now with Boston and Toronto and to an extent Tampa, like that's always going to be a dogfight, but the Pacific is wide open. And I really think that Calgary in a good seat, I mean, they still could take it, I guess, like they're not that far behind, but that division's wide open. And I think it's disappointing that they're not closer to the top.
And with Florida, the other day was a little disappointing, not only that they gave up 7 goals to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but the fact that Spencer Knight was apparently healthy enough to back up, but you start Alex Lyon on the second of a back-to-back and he gets absolutely torched. It's not even his fault. That's a tough spot for him. Yeah. And I think everybody would have wanted to see Spencer Knight play in that game against the team they're trying to catch in the Pittsburgh Penguins. And meanwhile, the Buffalo Sabres, Pete, are ahead of Florida with 3 fewer games played. And all of a sudden, Buffalo is 3 points back as of Thursday record time of both Pittsburgh and Washington, who play each other on Thursday. So that's an interesting storyline, right? The Sabres have kind of become a darling in the NHL this year. They have one of the best top lines in the league. Don Granato, maybe a glimmer if anybody's going to catch Montgomery, if the Bruins maybe taper off a tiny bit down the stretch. Maybe Granato would be the guy if the Sabres end their long playoff drought.
Yeah, and I mean, the Sabres became a darling to me just based on how fun and entertaining they are to watch. Like, they're one of the best offensive teams in the league. They've got one of the best offensive players in the league with a breakout star in Tage Thompson. Like, it is highlight viewing every single night with Tage Thompson at this point. And it's hilarious that team has like a plus 20 goal differential as one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Like, that's just how they're literally outscoring all of their problems, which is very fun to watch. Like, they're an extremely imperfect team, and I don't think that anybody's taking them too seriously as like a legitimate contender this year. But if they sneak into the playoffs, it could be hilarious and very fun to watch them in the first round. And just in terms of entertainment value, they pack one of the biggest punches of any team in the entire NHL. So I love the Sabres. I'll be honest. I love them. Yeah. They are such a chaotic good for the league this year that they've won a spot in my heart 100%.
Watch out for Owen Power, too. He's starting to cook offensively. We sort of forget about him because of the embarrassment of riches with Dahlin and Tage Thompson, and Jeff Skinner's had a fantastic year.
I even think Dahlin's kind of like flown under the radar based on how good Tage Thompson has been. Like, everybody's like, oh, and myself included, like I beat the Tage drum incessantly all the time. But the step that Rasmus Dahlin has taken has been insane from year to year. So I think we started to see it come into play last year a little bit, but I think he's establishing himself as an elite defenseman, which is huge for that team.
We're loving this in fantasy hockey, by the way. And by the way, I tailed you the other night on the over St. Louis and Buffalo, so I thank you very much for that. Since we are talking Swedish defensemen, in your wildest dreams, maybe your answer is different this time around. Erik Karlsson, what I'm getting at, I could not have predicted a return of relevancy to begin with, but never mind being in contention for the Norris Trophy. He's been impeccable for a terrible team.
Yeah, that's the craziest part about it is that I figured, you know, if Erik Karlsson was going to find it again, it would, you know, be on a maybe a different team, in a different situation. Like the fact that he is so good and so productive this year on a team that absolutely stinks and can't really get anything going outside of him has been the most impressive thing. Like, he's basically put this team on his back when it looked like he was a shell of himself and may never return to the form that he's found. So it's awesome to see for Erik Karlsson on a personal level, but if you're like a Sharks fan, you have to be excited about that as well, because it's still going to be difficult to move him, I think, but it becomes a lot easier if he's a Norris caliber, productive back end defenseman. So that glimmer of hope has come up now, where it's like, okay, maybe we won't be saddled with this guy. And not that they're saddled with him as how he's playing right now, but he doesn't do them any good, essentially. So if they can move him, that would be a huge win for San Jose.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, it's similar to Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. They want 2 first round picks or whatever, maybe 3. Like, the Sharks are going to want to come away like bandits if they do trade Erik Karlsson, because he has been so good this season, and they can still build around him, I suppose. Maybe if they were to get a Connor Bedard, that could be quite a combination, but that'll be a conversation for another day. You know, looking at your coverage so far this season for Bally Sports, you've covered a lot of, you know, covered the hockey world for a number of different prominent outlets over the years. I wanted to ask you, just from a big picture perspective, is there a player this year that you want to see get traded, and maybe to a particular landing spot? Do you see being a great fit? Like, do you see an outstanding fit for Patrick Kane or Erik Karlsson? I know we were talking about Bo Horvat, but there are other names like Tarasenko, if the Blues are out of it, and guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now I would say that, like, Horvat, Kane, and Meyer are like the big three that everybody's talking about. And I'm not like totally convinced that Meyer gets traded, but if he does, and this is going to sound blasphemous to anybody who knows me, but Timo Meier to the Toronto Maple Leafs makes a lot of sense in my mind, especially if the Bruins go out and get Bo Horvat. Like, you're talking about an arms race with the Carolina Hurricanes. There's a potential for an arms race in the Eastern Conference for like anybody if the Bruins get Bo Horvat, because other teams are going to look and be like, well, this team has been historically good and they just added one of the biggest prizes. We got to do something. And you're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs and how much pressure they're facing to make some noise in the playoffs. I think that making the splash with Timo Meier on the left side, it really helps that team and pushes things down a little bit. You got to figure out the money after this season, which it won't be easy, but it's something that I think is worth exploring if you're the Maple Leafs. And that would be, from an intrigue level, very, very intriguing for me, as like a person who's very invested in the Bruins Leafs rivalry and hoping that they meet in the playoffs every year. I want to see them both load up and then meet each other in the postseason.
I just wonder what that would mean for the Timo Meier shot prop, because everybody on Toronto in their top six loves shooting the puck. And I would just hammer the under with Meier, because you look at, Nylander, Tavares, Matthews, Marner, there's just only one puck to go around, sadly. And don't forget about Tampa either. They always steal someone. Last year's Nick Paul and Brandon Hagel, but I think you're so bang on. And we look forward to seeing what happens here in the Atlantic Division in general. Pete, thanks so much for gracing us with your presence. First time ever. And we look forward to seeing you at All-Star Weekend next week.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be in the Florida sun.
No doubt about it, Pete. Looking forward to All-Star Weekend in Sunrise. We just had a snowstorm here in Toronto, so I can't wait for the beach. I believe Fanfare is going to be on the beach, and we're doing a couple shows in there too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Everybody should come and drop by our show on Thursday. You can meet Nick, me, Anna, producer Bobby. I know some people were saying they love to hear his voice. You can see him in living color if you want to on Thursday. But we'll have a bunch of great guests. Really looking forward to it throughout the hockey industry. And great to have Pete on once again for his first appearance. Hopefully we could have him on again in the future.
Yeah, you never know. All-Star Weekend could be our time and our jam. And again, looking forward to Fort Lauderdale. And make sure again to come check us out. Subscribe and like to the podcast as well. All right, a couple of housekeeping notes. There's a bunch going on around the league right now. I mentioned the name Ridley Greig to you off the air the other night. Well, he's pretty much the fill-in for Josh Norris, man. Very similar to the Pacioretty news. You get the Norris injury news. He's done for the season. Greig in his NHL debut on Wednesday night, an assist and 8 shots on goal. I'll be fortunate enough to see Greig in action actually on Friday. I'll be in the alumni box at Scotiabank Arena with my co-host on Leafs Morning Take, Jay Rosehill. Nice. For the Leafs and the Ottawa Senators. So I'm looking forward to DeBrincat, Greig, and Giroux as a line. I actually think there's a legitimate value there in playing between those guys, obviously.
Yeah, worth a flyer, no doubt. You look at that draft class in 2020 for the Ottawa Senators, even though they're not on track to make the playoffs or live up to high expectations that we had for them.
Yeah.
Between him and Sanderson, Tim Stützle, Ottawa's in very good hands. And I know Chris Meaney was messaging us about the 8 shots on goal in addition to the power play assist for him in his debut. So those are all really good indicators for the weeks and months ahead that this guy, I know Shane Pinto got in on the action, and he's a guy that benefited the first time around when Norris was out of the mix. But again, hidden garbage time value for the Ottawa Senators. We've seen it before. I expect it again.
And to add context to this whole thing, Ridley Greig is pretty much the guy they won't include in a Jacob Chikrin trade with the Arizona Coyotes. It's pretty much their top prospect, and we're getting a good look at him right now and probably for rest of season purposes. So Cam Talbot goes down as well. Anton Forsberg is, I think, the easy add internally. Externally, there's a flurry of goalies I would look at. Pavel Francouz, Jack Campbell, Samuel Montembeau, as we talked about in the Monday podcast, UPL with the Buffalo Sabres, Philip Gustafson. There's some guys to take care of business to a lesser extent, Pete, with Pittsburgh. And unfortunately, Tristan Jarry goes down again. We talked about that game the other night. That was, I don't have words strong enough that can be aired on this podcast to describe what I watched the other night between Alex Lyon and Casey DeSmith. All I'll say is I took the over and I was happy about it, but I'd probably stay away from Casey DeSmith. If you compare Forsberg and Casey DeSmith, I think it's Forsberg easily, no?
Yeah, Casey DeSmith has been around a 900 all season long. And that's not to say a goalie can't be valuable around there, right? Like Phoenix Copley is sub 900 and exactly. He's nearly undefeated on the season. So, and there are some other examples of that as well. UPL has a great record despite a mediocre save percentage. But yeah, when you look at Pittsburgh, what a comeback for Chris Letang, right? Instantly, yeah. We slotted him back into the top 15 defensemen, scored 2 goals. You love to see it with what he's been through with losing his father and then an injury as well and the stroke earlier in the season. I mean, again, you just love to see it, the positive vibes coming from him rejoining Pittsburgh. And when you see that, Nick, you can't forget that Pittsburgh is going to be in the mix, right? Boston might run into Pittsburgh in the first round or something like that. Like, that's still a very dangerous team that probably should have won its playoff series last year in 5 against the Rangers. And if they're healthy at the right time, don't sleep on the Penguins to beat anybody in the East.
I'm still having a tough time trying to put my finger on Pittsburgh, Pete. They go on winning streaks. They go on losing streaks. There's nothing in between. And again, I think it's going to be a battle, clearly. Like, I know the Islanders have been struggling. I think they're going to wake up at some point in time. Buffalo's involved in that conversation. You referenced that Washington-Pittsburgh game that we're all looking forward to as well. I think, you know, every time I get my hopes up about Pittsburgh, I seemingly pick them every first round and they disappoint me, right? Like, I know last year was a different story with Louis Domingue and all that. And, you know, it's great to see, but it was just one of those things where in the long run, I just don't know how I feel about this Pittsburgh team because just they're grossly inconsistent, Pete. Like from a betting point of view, impossible to bet on to begin with. You just don't know what you're going to get. But I think you're so right. Like, to me, that was a cherry on top, just a terrible, terrible, you know, season in terms of events off the ice for Chris Letang. And he comes back and he scores the OT winner. If that's poetry, I don't know what isn't, you know. It just, it was really, really impressive. I'm happy for him. And I still think that team has a lot to give. I just wonder from a postseason mode, if they can get there to begin with. How do you feel about them?
I think they'll get into the playoffs. You know, it's going to take a lot for Buffalo to surpass either the Capitals or the Penguins. It could happen. I'm not ruling it out, but I'll just side with the Penguins like I've been beating the drum on all season. Yeah. I'm done picking them to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
I did it a few years ago. It burned me. So we move on. But for sure, St. Louis, I wanted to touch on getting some key players back from injury. Tarasenko came back the other day. Torrey Krug came back and had two assists, but Buchnevich goes to the IR, so that's unfortunate for them. But we got a fan question. Someone was asking, who's the better pickup, Torrey Krug right now or Shea Theodore when he gets back? I would say, and it's a points league, I would say Shea Theodore, but I'm a little worried about Vegas. Like, I watched them unravel against the Devils the other day. They should have won that game. Those were big. That was a big road point lost for them when they lost in overtime. And to me, like, different key guys on that team are declining, like Eichel, Logan Thompson, Petrangelo, and they're really waiting for the eventual return. Hopefully it comes soon of either Mark Stone or Shea Theodore. These guys have been out, especially Theodore, for a while.
Yeah, I don't know on Mark Stone, man. Like, it doesn't sound positive. And I think they're going to know more in the next 5 to 6 days. But if they lose Mark Stone for an extended period of time, that could be curtains for Vegas. And perhaps they piped into their locker room that I actually picked in the miss the Stanley Cup playoffs. That was my hot take, one of my many hot takes.
I remember
last offseason. The first half didn't go as swimmingly, but the second half really, really has picked up steam. In general, that division's wide open, so I wouldn't be shocked if Vegas gets in there. Bruce Cassidy has done a tremendous job, but a lot of the concerns that I wonder about have come to the forefront. The goaltending, there's some finger pointing. Logan Thompson came out the other day and says, I need to be better. Like, and that's what happens. There's a lot of soul searching when you start losing games. And I just don't know if the depth is there. We talked about Pacioretty leaving. Eichel hasn't pulled his weight. I think you can look up and down that roster. There's some major league question marks. So to answer the question, maybe I'm inching a bit towards Torrey Krug, but to be honest, I think he's been a massive disappointment so far in a couple seasons in St. Louis. I just don't know if and when Shea Theodore is going to come back, quite frankly.
Right. And Justin Falk had a big game the other day, but he's been quiet as well. Yeah. You're just not really seeing much pop from the blue line in St. Louis this season, fantasy wise, which is disappointing. You mentioned how you thought the Islanders, or how you think the Islanders could eventually turn things into a positive way. But I see the injury to Noah Dobson. That scares me a little bit. Just whether he comes back or not, like, just having an injury to that key player down the stretch, I don't like the sound of that. We've seen guys like Lee and Nelson since we last talked last week, where we were talking about the Islanders trending in the wrong direction. They've been scoring a little bit more lately. But again, unless they make a trade, I think they're a step below even the Buffaloes and the Floridas of the world.
I'm tired of hearing them talking about making a trade. Like, Lou Lamoriello had his media presser, I guess, on Wednesday or whatever it was, in, you know, in Ottawa. And he said, yeah, like, if it's, you know, gave the stock answers, like, there's no point for those scrums if you're not going to tell me anything. And he's never told us anything over, what, 35 years or whatever he's been in the NHL. So I don't expect that to start now. But I think everybody and their mother knows what this team needs. And that's an influx of offense, whether it be Tarasenko or somebody along that ilk. Please, for the life of me, somebody help out in the top six there with the Islanders. So that's my biggest wonder. And I just don't think, and maybe waste is too harsh of a word, but when you have Ilya Sorokin, I truly feel like anything is possible. When you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, we've seen it time and time before. Maybe last year was the exception, where I think they got a pedestrian performance and Darcy Kuemper still won the Stanley Cup. But that's what happens when you have bona fide stud after bona fide stud. I think having, you know, backbone the way the Islanders do, I think always puts you in a better spot than other teams, even if they're contenders, Pete. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, it gives them a chance for him to stand on his head. And he did it a couple of years ago in the playoffs. Remember that game five against the Penguins, when the Penguins really should have won that game and he made 40 something saves and got them to win. And then they finished him off the next game. So yeah, Sorokin's one of the few best goalies in the league. And it would certainly feel like he was being wasted, like you said, if they don't make the Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Looking at some injuries, you know, guys that left the game recently or came back, I like what I've seen from Boone Jenner recently, goals in three straight games with some outstanding category coverage of shots on goal and hits. It's Columbus, but I think between him and Roslovic, Nick, we've seen some nice hidden value lately a little bit on the fantasy front.
Yeah, Roslovic actually got benched in the third period against Calgary the other night. It's like they flip-flop back and forth. But I tell you, you add Bedard to that roster, and suddenly I feel a bit more bullish on Columbus than I did going into the season. If you do recall, I'm like fade, if that makes sense, on Johnny Gaudreau. And we were bang on in that assessment. He's just been horrifying from a fantasy perspective. So is Patrick Laine. I've stayed completely clear of Columbus. But next year, it's a new page. It's a new chapter. I'm already positive and optimistic about the Jackets moving forward. That Korpisalo was really good against Edmonton too.
Yeah, and one guy to keep an eye on in the props market, goal props, DFS, Kirill Marchenko. This is the Cy Young of all Cy Youngs. He's a rookie. He has 11 goals and no assists, 11 goals on 45 shots. Hasn't played the full season, so that's actually a really impressive feat for a guy on a bad team like that to be scoring at a clip like that. But you know, not someone you would consider in a season-long league because of lack of category coverage, I guess you could say. But yeah, really impressive goal scorer brewing right now in the system for the Jackets.
I crunched the numbers. He's scoring at a 36-goal pace. That's 11 and 25 for Kirill Marchenko. When I posed the question on Twitter on Wednesday, Marchenko or Victor Olofsson, who's the front runner right now for the Cy Young Award in the NHL. But yeah, it has been a great story. And I think at the very least worth a flyer, certainly in DFS, when you look at Marchenko because of the production. 11 and 25, Pete, is nothing to sneeze at, is it?
Is this the American League or the National League Cy Young Award race? But no, it is a funny storyline. I do love Olofsson. He's a stud, and he didn't have a shot in his last game, but I saw him have a couple of attempts, and he's really impressive what he's done in a secondary role for Buffalo. It's tough to stay relevant, right, when that top line is rolling and you don't have – I know sometimes he plays with Cousins, but sometimes he plays with Mittelstadt. So he's making the most of every shift he takes on the ice, Olofsson. So I would go with Victor Olofsson in that debate for sure.
Let me ask you this. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week, Pete? It's time for the Delivery of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with Andrew Mangiapane. We talk all about disappointments in Calgary offensively, but he's really been charging up lately. Couple goals lately. He's got 6 points in his past 5 games, so really impressive. And he scored a few, had a multi-point game prior to that, a few games back. So to me, if Calgary is going to make the playoffs, and they are right on the cusp, they've played a couple of more games. So that's why I said they're on the outside looking in compared to a team like Minnesota. But Mangiapane has that juice where goal scoring wise, he could help, you know, set the table for another playoff berth for Calgary. So I'm excited to see him resurrecting a little bit in the fantasy world.
I'll keep with the Buffalo theme. Give me Samson Reinhart of the Florida Panthers, playing with Anton Lundell and Alexander Barkov on the top line. They've been on fire, points in 8 of the last 9 for Reinhart, 4 goals, 8 assists, 12 points. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete, let's tie a bow on this puppy.
I actually wanted to just ask you, I saw Matty Beniers got injured last night. The Calder Trophy race is really interesting because he was the guy that you would say is the far and away standout. But if he misses any time, Logan Thompson has declined. Now Kochetkov's back up. I mean, do you look at Kochetkov again as having a very high ceiling rest of the season? Maybe even the Calder Trophy? Because as much as Beniers was the front runner, like he hasn't, it's not like he's well better than a point per game or anything and sealed the deal at this point. What do you think?
Well, I hope so, because I sprinkled a bit of coin on Kochetkov to win the Calder Trophy earlier on this season. I think there's still an outside shot. Like, I don't think anybody's going out there and saying Beniers has this award taken away with. And certainly if he's forced to miss, you know, anytime. I wonder how much that was Seattle just pulling him because the game was over than it was like a serious injury. Again, remains to be seen, but it was a 6-1 hockey game. It was a beatdown after like one period of play. So I wondered from that standpoint. But certainly when you look at Kochetkov, he has the pedigree, he has the team in front of him to go on a ridiculous run and get back in this conversation. So while I'm still leaning Beniers, as we've been saying all season long, do not sleep on Kochetkov now with Anderson hurt and back in the NHL here.
Yeah, definitely. We like to try to stay ahead of the curve whenever we can, and that's an opportunity. We could see the storyline write itself a week or two from now or at the end of the season. So thanks again to Pete Blackburn for hopping on for the first time. Really good segment with him. For Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you next week. NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you on the other side.